From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
The rain has cleared in Jacksonville. 70 degrees, clear, sunny skies in downtown as we look at the Hart Bridge across the St. John's River. About a mile away, we welcome you inside Everbank Field for Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shattuck with you. What did it get to today? This is kind of the calm before the storm as we look at the big three things today. Starting with that, next week it's real busy in this offseason with the players back in town, with the offseason programming beginning, the Poslesny retirement ceremony. We'll get to all that coming up. Our guest today, Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com, a familiar name to Jags fans over the years. We'll get his take on what the Jags could do with the 29th overall pick. And Ashlyn Sullivan joins us for Top Tweets. Brian Sexton, John Osier, what's up, fellas?
Tweeting, retweeting.
Oh, you're tweeting.
That's what we do.
That's what we do now
we
in
do.
This day and age. So maybe I should do that, too.
We were just handed our phones. Yeah. We're learning.
Somebody brought the phones to you. Wow, that's service.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's...
It's a new
awesome
era.
Television. You guys go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
Tell us when you're done.
I'm done.
So this is kind of still the calm before the storm here this week. There's kind of quiet here. There's some prospects rolling through still and stuff. Next week the players are back in, and here we go with the offseason.
Well, in many ways, the offseason is over, and it's the out-of-season now. It's that work towards OTAs and then towards a mini camp, and then there's a little lull, and then the storm isn't too far behind. So the real offseason ends next week with the players coming back and the schedule coming out and the uniforms being unveiled and the draft the week after that. I mean, that all sets up the start of the season.
I'm done now.
Oh, you're finished.
I'm set.
Glad you could join us.
What are we talking about? What's going on?
Offseason.
There really isn't anyone really like him.
No,
is there?
There's
never
not.
Met anyone
Thank
like him?
Goodness, because there's only one John.
I'm fired up for next week, though. I actually heard you guys. I can do two things at once. I tweeted and listened. I think it's going to be an exciting week. I say the franchise is going to be up there with some of the most interesting ones we've had yet. And saying goodbye to Poslesny, I think a lot of fans are going to enjoy that moment. To say goodbye to somebody who deserves a fond farewell, if you will.
And that's something we'll have live on Jaguars.com on Monday. So the players are back in Monday for the offseason. The Poslesny press conference, I believe, is the same day around midday. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we're going to hear from some current players in that process what Paul Poslesny means to them. I'm sure Telvin Smith would be up there.
I can imagine, and I haven't seen the rundown. I'm hosting it next week. But I imagine that there will be plenty of time built in for guys like Telvin to get up and speak about what it means. Just on a personal note, I think I really recognize the respect that Paul's teammates had for him when Cindric Marks in 2013 stood in the locker room after Paul had missed a game or was going to miss a game because of an injury and just spoke in such glowing terms of Paz, who he had just been joined with. He had just signed in free agency. And, I mean, he just kept going and going and going. And that's... I mean, I knew players liked him, but I didn't realize the depth of their respect until Sen just, he couldn't say enough. And Sen, that's saying something.
Yeah, I'll bet he said enough. But the emotion and the real joy, satisfaction that many players got out of being able to see Poslesny experience the winning season, the playoff run last year, that was a cool sub-story, but it was a real sub-story. Sometimes when you write that story about how much players respect a guy and how they're glad to see him get this success, you feel like you're writing something false. Everybody you talk to about Paz on that level, you got the idea that they really did. The day he announced his retirement, when I talked to Telvin, one of the first things he said was how good it was to be around him during that. And how that was a big deal of why the run happened was actually playing for him. Now, I don't think Telvin had any reason to make it up. So it's a real connection they had.
So that's coming up Monday. We'll have that here on Jaguars.com, as we always do, when one of the big-name players calls it a career, and Paul Poslesny certainly fits that bill. Now, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, Brian, you'll be in Dallas, right?
I will. We'll have Dallas on Tuesday.
Coverage from there from you.
Yes, for me. Yes.
That's why you knew that.
Yes.
That's why you're going, I guess, right? Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. The draft is fun. It's been in Chicago and Philly the last couple of years. Yeah. This would be the first move, you know, towards the Midwest, a deep Midwest, and looking forward to it.
It's going to be pretty fun. Now, between now and then, that means the NFL schedule announcement is due at some point because they always do it before the NFL draft. So there's only a week's time to really get that done. So if it's not late this week, it'll be at some point next week as well with all that other stuff going on.
It'll find a way to be on my busiest day.
Thursday.
It'll probably be that.
If you look back in recent years, it's either been the Wednesday or Thursday the week before the draft. Yes. So we're guessing because of the state of the franchise that Thursday will be the day.
Yeah. Why not?
It'd be great for us if it was Wednesday. So it'd be Thursday.
Yeah, it'll be Thursday probably. So add to some other things
Fantastic.
Going on that day. And that, you know, once you have the schedule out, then everything can kind of move ahead for the offseason, the front office, the ticketing, and all that stuff can move along. So
yeah, this is always when it is, by the way. I've gotten some emails from people sort of complaining, hey, when's the schedule coming out? It's always this time of year, so it's. I expect it next week on the worst day possible.
And then late in the week, I believe Friday, is the media pre-draft luncheon, which you'll get the brass in a room, and they won't tell you much of anything. That's an annual tradition.
They'll say they're open to a trade, and they're excited about the pick.
And they'll tell you that the draft is deep at quarterback and offensive line.
Sweet. So look for highlights of that coming up next week.
So I may just take that day off since we've already got it covered.
Just after a busy busy Thursday.
So it is what it is.
A lot going on next week. You know, and when the players come back in, it's strength and conditioning. That's all they can do in the first phase of the offseason program, which begins on Monday. So you'll find out pretty quick kind of who's been – at least they'll find out pretty quick who's been following the procedure and getting things right, getting ready for this offseason program, because it's hard to just show back up and hit your mark.
And we already kind of know. I mean, there's been a steady stream of guys through here for the last couple of weeks. You know, voluntary, choose to come in. So it's pretty easy to tell, just based on the guys whose cars have been parked in the lot out there, who to expect. A guy that I mentioned on Drive Time yesterday to you who has been here a lot is Cam Robinson. Excited to see, you know, just how much bigger and stronger he gets.
And Miles Jack, Keelan Cole, guys like that. It all starts on April 16th when they get back, or whatever that first day is. And that really is the start of that year's team coming together, and it's the it's when they can start thinking about this and their minds get right. In 3 weeks after that, I believe, is when they're actually in meetings and the football stuff starts. So it's here.
And it's all voluntary, remember, the off-season program, except for that three-day mandatory veteran minicamp in June. So there will be stories and tweets about players not here. But it's voluntary, and that's to be expected, especially coming off a season like they did a year ago, right?
And it's okay.
It's okay.
Especially if you're, you know, if one of the main guys, if a Jalen Ramsey, if an A.J. Bouye, if a guy who's at a high level doesn't show up, as long as it's not the quarterback, they're well within their rights. That's why the CBA is written the way it is.
Well, and the guys who are here, they need to be here. Mm-hmm. Not that Jalen doesn't, but you assume that Jalen and A.J. Bouye and anybody who might not be here will come in and ready to go, in shape, get themselves ready to go. A lot of the guys who are here are those guys who are fighting for roster spots. Because we don't know, but generally in a voluntary situation like that, you know, the guys who need to be getting FaceTime with the coaches, the guys who need to be here are the ones who are.
But I would anticipate moving forward more guys being off and on, in and out, than in the past, because that's what happens when you get established guys who are top tier guys. Then it becomes okay; they don't need it as much.
Daly's Place schedule is rolling along already. It continues April 20th with Thomas Rhett. Then it's Skillet, and for King and Country, May 4th, and then Brian's favorite, Post Malone.
Never heard of him.
And 21 Savage.
It's a him.
Yes, it is. Well, you can go May 10th. Tickets available, dailysplace.com.
He played for the Jazz, right? Play the Stockton.
Oh, yeah, the mailman.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I do know him. Yeah, I might go to that.
He's good.
We're 60 seconds away from Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com. It's on Jaguars.com live.
Don't miss the Jaguars uniform launch and draft party presented by PRI Productions on Thursday, April 26th at Daly's Place. Register for free at jaguars.com/draftparty18 for the chance to see the defending AFC South champions wearing our new uniforms live on stage. Gates open at 6:30 when the live show kicks off with expert analysis, performances by the Roar and D-Line, and player autographs. Be the first to try on a new jersey and purchase your own at the Jaguars Pro Shop. Then watch the team select the newest Jaguar with the 29th pick. Registration is free at jaguars.com, so get your tickets today.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jaguars.com Live continues with tweeting John Osier and Instagramming one. Brian Sexton.
I have that app.
JP Shattuck with you. Our guest today, as we continue and get ready for this NFL draft coming up at the end of April, a name and a face familiar to Jaguars fans over the years, Tony Pauline with DraftAnalyst.com. What's up, man? How are you?
Thanks for having me. I hope my face isn't too familiar. I don't want to find out that they see it in the post office there. But
you know how far Tony Pauline goes back with the Jaguars?
How far back?
He had a column in Jaguars Inside Report back when it was a print edition, mailed each week, courtesy of Vic Ketchman.
Vic Ketchman, exactly. Yes, used to do weekly features all the way back then for the rousing price of about $75 a piece, which still isn't bad these days. But
yeah, $75
still works.
Still spins the same. Hey, Tony, your latest mock draft at DraftAnalyst.com has the Jaguars going with Mike Gesicki, the tight end from Penn State. Take us through that mock and why Gesicki.
Well, Gesicki's the highest-rated tight end on my board. As I'm going to write tomorrow, the tight end rankings in the league are all over the place. Some teams like Gesicki number one. Some teams like Dallas Goedert of South Dakota State number one. A lot of teams like Hayden Hurst. I know they signed Austin Seferian Jenkins in the offseason. He's a solid tight end. He's headed in the right direction. But I think they've got to get another tight end, another player at the position, and they've got to look long-term at the position. I do think they can go offensive guard. I do think that they could take a top-rated receiver if one happens to fall down there. I thought when you looked at the overall picture of it, I thought Gesicki was a good fit for them, but there's still 2 weeks left.
What's the highest percentage to you, Tony, of, I guess, offensive line? If you were projecting an offensive lineman to them and you couldn't go with the Penn State kid, who would you go with?
Probably Will Hernandez of UTEP. I mean, I think he's definitely a Tom Coughlin type of lineman. Reminds me a bit of Chris Snee, who Coughlin made sure the Giants drafted a long time ago. Had a terrific career with the Giants. He, you know, like Snee, he's a big, strong, tough, nasty offensive lineman. Very chippy. Gets after it. Really plays through the whistle. I think that would be a good fit for them. I don't think Isaiah Wynn's going to be there. But when I look at Coughlin, when I look at his history with the Giants and the type of lineman that he brought in, I think Will Hernandez kind of fits that mold.
I just saw Chris Knee. He's a scout for the Jaguars. That's now. Right. He scouts offensive line. He looks nothing like Will Hernandez anymore. I mean, he's like 220 pounds. You wouldn't believe it, Tony, that a all-pro guard could slim down as quickly as he did. Positional value-wise, and I think a lot of us have seen the stat that only 33 offensive linemen were drafted last year, which was the fewest since 1967. How deep does this offensive line group go? Not necessarily a tackle or a center or guard, but how late can you work into the offensive line and find guys that can help you?
It's a good question, and my answer to that is not very deep. I mean, I think the top interior offensive linemen, the guys that can come in and help as rookies in the NFL, will be off the board by the middle part of round two. You're talking about Quentin Nelson, who's going to be an early first-round pick from Notre Dame. James Daniels of Iowa, who's probably going to be a mid-first-round pick. Isaiah Wynn, Will Hernandez, who are going to be late first-round picks. Austin Colbert of Nevada, who's probably going to be an early second-round pick. Billy Price of Ohio State, who probably should have been a first-round pick, but hurt his pec lifting at the combine. He's probably going to fall into the early mid-part of round two. And then Frank Ragano of Arkansas, the center, is going to be a mid-second round pick. The tackle position is even worse. I mean, you got McGlinchey of Notre Dame up at the top. You've got the Colbert of the UCLA kid, who's probably going to be overdrafted. He's a great athlete, but he's going to need time. Colton Miller, Connor Williams. A lot of people don't from Texas. A lot of people don't like him. He's not big enough to play tackle. He's not nasty enough to play guard. So really, at the tackle position, it falls off very quickly, and you're looking more at developmental type guys who may need time before they're ready to step onto the field.
Is that a similar story at wide receiver, Tony? It seems like it doesn't go as deep as you'd like.
And there were no stars. And from what I'm hearing, you know, I've heard somebody who told me that they don't think there's going to be any receivers taken in the first round. And someone earlier this morning told me Calvin Ridley is going to be the only receiver taken in round one, but he's going to fall further than people believe. And, you know, really, you look at the history of receivers taken in round one, it's not been good. But I think when you look at the receiver class, you're looking at primarily number two and number three receivers. There are not a lot of number one standouts. Guys who I think can produce in the proper system and in the proper roles, but guys that aren't going to be stars at the position.
Tony Pauline with us, DraftAnalyst.com. Tony, there's a lot of quarterback talk in this draft, of course, at the very top, but I guess it's the general consensus of this room that the Jags wouldn't go with a quarterback at 29, maybe. I don't know if that's the whole – I know John's not on that boat,
no.
Brian.
No.
Yeah,
no.
So I think the consensus here is that the Jags won't go at 29. But in those later rounds, at some point the Jags, the feeling here, is gonna go quarterback. So outside of the top five, seven guys, what are some secondary quarterback guys that could be in the hunt round three, four, five, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking like last day, a guy like Mike White of Western Kentucky, I think, is an underrated guy. As you said, everyone's talking about the top guys, and there are some guys who kind of just slip through the cracks. Yeah, White's not the most elusive guy, but he's an accurate passer. He's got an NFL type arm. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but his arm is strong enough. He's a thinking man's quarterback. He doesn't make a lot of mental errors. He's an accurate guy. He's got a great amount of upside. He's a high character guy. I think a guy like Mike White in that fourth round area would be a good fit for the Jaguars. Same thing with Kyle Loletta of Richmond, a guy who's got decent size, 6'2 and a half, 222 pounds, played on the small school level at Richmond, but did a decent job at the Senior Bowl. And a guy who, you know, you're looking at him as a developmental type of quarterback, which is why he's going to be a late round pick. They can get him somewhere in that fourth, fifth round. I think it'd be good value and be a consideration.
The way that this team runs the ball, Tony, with Leonard Fournette, and the way that he runs the ball in particular, which is a bruising style, they have got to get another big back in here. He didn't play 16 games last year, and I would hesitate to say he'll ever play 16 games in a season. That's just not the way he plays. So round 3, 4, 5, are there some big backs out there who can spell him and take 12 to 15 carries a game? Maybe start a game or two a year if he's banged up.
You know, an intriguing name to watch would be Kalon Ballage of Arizona State, 6'1", 228 pounds, just a phenomenal athlete. Ran 4.46 at the combine, had what some people characterize as one of the best pro days they've ever seen from a running back. The problem with Ballage is he looks like Tarzan, he plays like Jane. I mean, he was a guy who was relatively productive at Arizona State, but never really grasped hold of a starting position. Didn't produce the way scouts thought he should and was more flash than he was consistency. I think if you can get a guy like that in the fourth round, you bring him into that Tom Coughlin type of atmosphere, you get him playing with a guy like Leonard Fournette, you know, maybe it starts to click mentally. That's one of those guys in the last day of the draft that if you hit on him, you basically have hit a grand slam, because he has all the tools to be a big-time ball carrier. It's just a matter of him putting it all together.
That's the guy who scored 7 or 8 touchdowns against Texas Tech, right?
He was tremendous, and he blew up the combine. And he's always one of those guys where he can be a dominant ball carrier when he wants to, when he's hitting on all cylinders. Just doesn't hit on all cylinders all the time. Later rounds, a name to remember is Fournette's former teammate, Darrell Williams of LSU, 5'11 and a half, 225 pounds. Sort of like a poor man's Fournette. Can grind it on the inside, has the agility to turn the corner, decent pass catcher out of the backfield. I think would be a good complement to a guy who could, give Fournette a breather on occasion.
Tony Pauline with us, DraftAnalyst.com. What's you got the next couple of weeks here for your website, and how many more mocks will you do before draft day?
I think what we're going to try and do is do a mock a weekend and then maybe one final one. I mean, I'm not big into the mock drafts, although the fans seem to like it. And we'll just keep pouring out the content. We got another article going up with some breaking news and rumors that are around the league, and as well as we'll have, by draft weekend, we'll have 770 scouting reports up. So it's not just about the guys who are drafted in rounds one and two. It's about those later-round guys. It's about those undrafted free agent guys who signed big contracts right before the start of free agency this year, and you'll hopefully be able to get all that information on those players at DraftAnalyst.com.
There he is, Tony Pauline, good friend of the program. Good to have you back, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauline, Draft Analyst.
It bears saying again, especially when you're close to the cap, as the Jaguars are, and now will be for many years to come with the talent that they've accumulated. You signed Scott Norwell, richest guard contract in NFL history. He was undrafted. Same thing with Boye the year before. Now this team really has to score beyond the seventh round. The onus is on that scouting staff on the other side of the hall here, other side of the wall, to do very well with those undrafted guys.
At some point, you have to draft an undrafted free agent well, because you can't free agent your way all the time.
We'll come back. Top tweets. Ashlyn Sullivan, 60 seconds, Jaguars.com Live.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out, and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jags fans, experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
Back, Jaguars.com Live, a look inside Everbank Field. A new field, by the way, after the Monster Truck Rally.
I'd like to cut my lawn like that. Perfect angle.
You could do that.
Every single one.
You could do that.
I couldn't. Maybe I could hire them to do it.
They could do it for you.
It isn't that flat, and it isn't that green.
Welcome back. You were mentioning Norwell a moment ago.
Yeah, there's proof, by the way, that infamy lives in the NFL. I was thinking of Scott Norwell, the kicker from Buffalo, who missed that kick in 91.
Yes.
Yeah. Against the Giants.
That was actually Scott Norwood.
So yeah, Norwood, Norwell.
Screwed up six different ways. Sorry. By the way, the day that he came in, that they signed, I said the same thing. So I'm going to call him Scott at least for this year. Andrew Norwood. Got it.
Norwell.
Okay, I'm confused.
Norwood.
Yeah,
I get the kicker.
Close enough.
It all sounds the same to me.
It does. Hey, Ashlyn Sullivan's
hey.
With us. Hey, Ashlyn.
How are you guys?
That means one thing. It's time to play the thing. Here we go.
Top tweets. Play the thing.
Top tweets. Top tweets.
Top tweets, indeed. Here we go on a Wednesday. The first one is a defensive lineman with a chip on his shoulder.
Yes, Pro Football Focus ranks Unique Ngakoue as the defensive end who racked up the most pressures from the right side in 2017. Unique likes the tweet but responds 2 days later, "When you keep getting doubted, you're doing something right." All season long, he had that mentality that he didn't give enough recognition all season long. I think he's going to continue to keep doing that regardless of how much recognition he gets.
Well, by the time the year was over, he was getting recognition, and then he didn't get elected to the Pro Bowl, so he's got an all-new to swing this year.
Yeah, that wasn't even a negative tweet.
Yeah.
At all. And it was a good thing.
So that's going to be his MO, and you know what? Good for him. I mean, that's what motivates, what drives him. It drove Mojo for years that he was not in the first round, even after he was an All-Pro. So,
but you go back and look at the touchdowns that this defense scored last year, and nearly all of them you can attribute to something he did. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of respect.
A lot of sack fumbles, a lot of interceptions off pressure, all that stuff from Unique Ngakoue. Hey, the NCAA tournament is over, but the Jaguars running back is looking at a blast from the past.
He is. Leonard Fournette playing off the 1991 Michigan basketball team, Fab Five. "I made a promise that we're going to ball." Telvin Smith, A.J. Boye, Leonard Fournette, Ramsey, Unique Ngakoue, some of the most talented and confident guys on this team.
Yeah,
that's a group right there. That's a good group.
It was a heck of a basketball team, too, back in the day, Brian.
They didn't win the championship, though. Let's see if that group can.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice.
That had to take some time, too. All those fades.
Right?
I guess
maybe
Leonard's got some time to kill in the offseason.
No, we could get Leonard to do some graphics for us.
Freelance.
Yeah, why not? So it's almost draft time. We're two weeks away. So at times we kind of look back at the history of the draft and what the Jags have done. And recently it's been pretty darn good around.
Pretty good. Connor Hughes, NFL reporter in New York. "The Jags' first three picks in 2016 were pretty incredible. Ramsey, Miles, Jack, Unique, and Ngakoue, stats to go with it. We always talk about how important it is for this team to draft well. The past 2 years, they've done just that. You got to hope it keeps going."
That could be an all-timer, guys, because that's one at every level of the defense. Guys that are Pro Bowlers, it could be all pros in the future if they aren't already. I mean, that's 1, 2, 3 in a draft like that. It doesn't come around often.
Well, and it might not be better than the 14 draft. I mean, it's you know, when you consider everybody in the 14 draft until the 7th round signed second contracts. Right now, it looks like it's going to have more star power at the top. But, 14 and 16, two incredible drafts for this team.
I'm anxious to see what Miles Jack does this year. We saw at the end of the year his playmaking ability. The interception at Pittsburgh in the playoffs was beautiful. So if he takes that step in year two in the middle, full-time starter that we expect him to, and playing middle linebacker, you really have something there. He was tremendous, and the expectations are very high for him.
I think he plays at a Pro Bowl level. Whether or not he makes it or not, it's always dicey. You just never know with that honor. But I think he'll be one of the best in the league.
He's been here all offseason. His truck's been parked out there. He's walked in here. That's probably why I'm so excited. Knowing the kid like we do, knowing how much he cares, and then seeing him in the building all offseason, anxious to see him on the field in the season.
And finally, on Instagram, Leonard and Jalen going back and forth.
Nothing
this seems to be a tradition.
Better, yes. All season long, Ramsey Instagrams a new hairstyle with the braids. Fournette famous for making fun of him all season long. Comments, "Son, you look like Whoopi Goldberg." And now that I look at it, there's a similarity there. A little bit, the braids and all. John, what do you think?
I think Leonard is a funny, funny man.
Who even comes up with that?
He's good. He's good.
It was good entertainment. Instagram. That's why you need to get on Instagram, Brian.
You're missing good things.
I'll be on there in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's going to get a new account.
You should have seen Leonard's tweet about Scott Norwood.
Yeah.
It was Clyde. You thought that one was good.
Well,
you think that's good.
We'll have to go on and check that out. Thanks for the top tweets
of course
today. Coming up, next week's busy. So strap in and hang on. Here we go. The off season is here, gentlemen. What do you got this week, Johnny?
Big week. In the last couple of days this week, I'll be looking at the offense and defense after free agency going into the draft. I was going to do it next week, but so much going on that I will take sort of a final look at the roster and then heading into a big week next week.
You guys mentioned Cam Robinson. I'll have him a little later this week on a podcast to
Right.
talk about his offseason.
He's a guy who had a man's body, but it wasn't quite filled in last year. I'm big, strong kid. Anxious to see what turns for him with Tom Myslinski in the weight room.
I know that feeling. Trust me. Big man's body, haven't grown into it yet. All right. Thanks a lot to our guest today, Tony Pauline, draftanalyst.com. Give him a follow @TonyPauline on Twitter for our entire crew. Thanks for watching. Jaguars.com Live.